Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 33 of season 7 of Movie Run Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is someone who anyone who's listened to Movies by Minute podcast probably knows. It's not just a host, but also a producer of so many different shows. I'm not even going to go through the whole list of them, but the one that's relevant right now, besides Apollo 13, which he did a great job with, I enjoyed listening to that one also, is Jim O'Kane of the October Sky Minute. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Always great to be on your show, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for joining us once again. So minute 33 begins with John warning Zeus, ends with John making a leap of faith. So basically, yesterday the episode was that John was using the ambulance as a blocker to try and get through as many streets as possible. And at the very end of the minute, he basically said to himself, wait a second, why am I doing this? I should be doing something else. And he basically decided to just pull it over to the side. And, you know, he says to Zeus, hang on, you know, giving a little bit of a warning as to what he's planning on doing. And then he basically says, hang on. And John pulls the car over. And before he does so, we see that John starts driving down the wrong way, which is just really funny to watch the way that you know, he's just going down the one way road, not caring about any other car, which always reminds me of, you know, that old joke where a guy's driving on the road and his wife calls him and says, I just heard that you know, on Route 80. Things are crazy. There's this guy driving, you know, going the wrong way. And her husband says, what do you mean one guy? There's hundreds of them that are going the wrong way.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's... Wow. See, I can never figure out... This part of the movie is very confusing to me because they kind of compress. I mean, they have to compress because they're talking about getting all the way from Midtown down to... you know, down to extreme downtown, the Wall Street area, in record time. But everything, if you think of Manhattan like a funnel, the streets start collapsing in on themselves until the time you get to Houston Street. And once you get into Soho, the old village and stuff like that, the streets are no longer a grid format. They're kind of scattered everywhere. They still number them east to west, but the north and south stuff gets really hairy. And he did the right thing by stopping where he did, you know, coming as things were coming at him. He was kind of running out of options of getting downtown. So, you know, being able to abandon ship here is probably the best move for him, because there's no way he's going to get quickly around in the village.
Now, the whole thing with John, though, is that, you know, like I said, he's driving the wrong way down the street. So, once again, what do you think the penalty or fine is to do something like that?
Well, besides possibly getting in a head-on collision, I would think it's probably, if you don't hit anybody, it's probably a misdemeanor, but I would think the fine is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $200.
So, I mean, basically, it depends on where you are with the amount of the fine, but basically... It's punishable but fine, and in some areas you actually will get points on your record also, but it all depends, obviously, with any time you get pulled over, it depends on the situation. You know, yep. Most cops will just give you a pass if you give them a good enough explanation as to why you're driving the wrong way. If it's because you're drunk or on other type of substances or things like that, then the odds are you're going to be in even more trouble than that. But most of the time, you know, they're going to give you off with a warning. There are places where you can actually get jail time for doing this. But again, it happens if you've caused some sort of injury or damage or things like that. So, you know, you have to always do that. So when I was going through this, I came across a list that I thought was great. It's 13 of the weirdest driving laws that are still in effect in the US. Okay. So it's laws that are still on the books. They haven't been rescinded or anything like that, but you know, you can get fined or you know or get arrested for some of these things. So okay, we'll start with one in Alabama that if you have a lantern attached in front of your vehicle, it's legal to drive the wrong way down a one-way street. So here,
Wow.
it's connected to what we were talking about here. So if
Yeah.
John would have just hung out a lantern and screamed, "The redcoats are coming, the redcoats are coming," in Alabama,
The revered of
he would have been able to
offenses.
get away with it. In Alaska, it's against the law to tie dogs to the side of the passenger vehicle, to the roofs of passenger vehicles.
Wow.
Okay, you probably know what a roof is. I have no idea what that is. What's a roof? Is this like making it so that you can mush? Is
Yeah,
that the idea?
well, I was thinking of like the is it National Lampoon's Vacation with the dog that was tied to the bumper? It's like it's probably not allowed because you if you forgot about the dog is in a bad way. Oxford English Dictionary says it's probably an alternate of another word. So I don't
Probably
I'm not
roof.
sure. Earliest known
Yeah,
use was in the 1880s, so it's in a glossary by William S. Gressley in 1883. And they don't have it connected to anything. So it's an utter mystery. So whatever you do, don't tie it to whatever it might be, because nobody seems to know what that is.
maybe it's a typo here and it's supposed to be the roof of a
Yeah.
passenger vehicle. Maybe
Yeah, I
that's
would
the
think so.
idea.
Maybe
So
the
you can't
roof.
tie a dog to the roof. Okay. All right. Here's another one in Arkansas. After 9 p.m., you can get a ticket for blasting your horn in front of establishments that serve sandwiches or cold drinks.
Wow, so
So,
watch out when you're in the drive-through at McDonald's, yeah.
that's right. Don't honk your horn after 9 o'clock. Where's my food?
Beep, beep. That'll be
Yeah.
$200, buddy.
That's right. In California, it's illegal to jump from a car moving 65 miles per hour or faster.
Especially if you have Keanu Reeves
Another one
driving it.
in, that's right. Another one in California, it's illegal to sleep on the roadways.
That sounds like a good
You
law. I'd
know, yeah,
Yeah,
probably.
the penalties are
In, in,
natural.
yeah, you're gonna like this one, and a friend of the show, Todd, is gonna like that also. It's illegal to drive a black car on Sunday in Colorado.
Wow.
So that means you can't drive a hearse or a
Yes, or
limo.
get a wrap.
I don't know. It's very strange. In Tennessee, it's against the law to shoot animals from your vehicle unless you are killing a whale.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know how many whales there are in Tennessee.
I would love to have been in the Tennessee legislature hearing the debate on that law.
Seriously.
Obviously,
In Massachusetts, you can get ticketed for having a gorilla in your back seat. I think that one's
Do you
that
get
one's
the
probably
do
more
you,
interesting than Tennessee.
yeah, do you get the ticket or does the gorilla get the ticket?
Yeah,
What
that's a
if
good question.
he's wearing a seatbelt? Is that okay? Yeah.
That just reminds me of what's it called? The Burt Reynolds Dom DeLuise
Oh, Cannonball
comedy.
Run or
Cannibal Run, Cannibal Run.
Cannonball
There
Run?
you go. So
Yeah.
it's not a gorilla, but it
Yeah.
you know it's close enough. All right, a few more of these. In Nevada, you can't ride a camel on the highway.
I don't think that's legal in Texas either. There's no livestock allowed on the interstate.
Probably not. In Ohio, it's illegal to ride on the roof of a taxi. You know, no, and but can you put your dog on the roof?
Yeah, apparently,
That's
of
the
course.
question.
What law
Yeah,
am I breaking,
seriously.
officer?
Okay, just three more of these. In Montana, it's illegal to leave sheep alone in a truck. I'm not even going to try and go there.
Lonely sheep, huh?
Seriously. In Minnesota, you can't drive a red car on Lake Street in Minneapolis.
Hmm.
Yeah. I have a friend from Minneapolis. I'm gonna have to ask him about that one. And this is actually my favorite one. In Maine, it's illegal to park in front of a Dunkin' Donuts. Does that mean that like all the police cars are already?
Yeah,
the police cars are already parked there. You're taking up space from the police.
Yeah. Does Dunkin' know about this no parking policy? I would think they want to fight that. Wait, what about our customer base?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little strange. So yeah, that's some fun little tidbits related to driving the wrong way on a in Manhattan, possibly. And at this point, you know, John basically drives up on the sidewalk and ends up stopping in front of the subway station. And we see that he's at the 8th Street, the 50th Street station by downtown and Brooklyn. You can get on the 1, 2, or 3, the different trains that he could possibly get.
Which is completely an error. I mean, that 8th Street station. Yeah. That 8th Street station is not the 1, 2, and 3 don't stop at 8th Street. That's the BMT line, and the only ones that stop there are the N, the R, and the W.
Is it possible though that back in 1994 it did?
No, that's a whole different line.
1995.
Yeah, it's a whole different line. It's the BMT Brooklyn Manhattan Transit Company. That goes from NYU out toward Brooklyn. The 1, 2, and 3 is further west and then loops east. It's true that the 3 goes to Wall Street, but if you're going to be using the 8th Street station, you're not going to get on the 1, 2, or 3. It's a whole different subway system, or not a subway, different system, but it's a different route. They don't cross there. You'd have to go up to Union Square.
Right, the train he's supposed to catch is the 3. So
right, yeah, the 3 goes to Wall Street, yeah. But he's,
so in the universe of Die Hard with a Vengeance, the 1, 2, and 3 stop at the 8th Street.
Yeah, the McTiernan-verse. So
that's right. Yeah. So then John, gets out of the car and goes, "Get out of there, slide over and take the wheel." And then Zeus says to him, "Where are you going?" And McLean then says to him, "We should be ahead of the train, right?" He goes, "You're not going to get on that train. I'm going to get on that train. You got to get to the payphone by 10:20. What are you going to do?" "I'm going to get that bomb." "Listen, you fail, I cover your ass. I fail, you cover my ass. And if we both fail, then we're both go now, drive. Get to that phone booth by 10:20. Go." And Zeus just looks around and goes, "My lucky fucking day." And we see John run down towards the towards the stairs, and he goes, "Look out, ma'am! Look out! Look out! Look out! Get out of the way!" You know, just pushing everyone out of the way as he's trying to get down there.
It would be pretty awful if he tried to get down there and it was the these are the N, the R, W. I got to go over the IND line.
I'm on the wrong side. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. That would be a problem. And as John gets down there, he sees the train, passing by. So he runs back up, and we actually see the sign of a coffee shop called Timothy's Coffee. Hmm. And have you ever dined?
I've never dined at Timothy's. I was a Needix man myself. Or I used to go to McCann's on 44th and Lexington. That was my diner of choice.
Okay, so Timothy's it's a large Canadian coffee chain. It was founded in 1975, Ontario, and then in 1986 it was bought up by Ian and Becky McKinnon. They ended up expanding it, and then in the early 90s the Timothy's expanded into the U.S. Mostly into New York, but they had they have shops in Boston, Washington, Philadelphia. And at a certain point, it was the second largest coffee house chain in New York after Starbucks.
Wow. And I would think there would be a lot of confusion between that and Tim Hortons, their Canadian coffee company.
Yeah, right. And then after 9/11, they actually closed up all their shops in New York.
Huh.
And decided to focus on the Canadian market. And in 2007, they opened their first overseas store in Seoul.
Wow.
And they're from what I understand, they're still around now. They were bought up by the MTY Food Group in 2018, but they still run the, you know, they still have it all around. You know, Omisha shops.
Huh.
Yeah. They even named a brand of coffee called Presidential Number 44 when Barack Obama visited Canada. They made a special blend for him, I guess.
I'm trying to look up there.
And at this point, you know, John, you know, runs down the street, and I love how we see that his shirt is like flapping in the breeze. And then he did something really strange. You know, we all know about the New York City subway grates.
Yes.
You know, and he like basically lifts one up. Think it's that easy to lift up the grate?
No, if you look at them, that steel, that would be like trying to pick up Superman. You'd need Superman to pick that up with one hand. I've seen MTA workers working on there, and they have a lift that they pull up with a pickup truck and has a little crane that comes over the side. That is not something that you can just hoist up and drop over to the side. That at least I would say at least two to 300 pounds for each of those big gigantic steel plates. And
all right, well, if you got John McClane, you know, he can.
That's
he can
true. Do it. Yeah. Yeah. And apparently the subway runs a little bit higher in that neck of the woods, because If you look down through at least on the BMT, if you look down into where the trains are, it's a much deeper drop than what you're seeing on there. They're not running directly under the sidewalk. It's I would say at least a 20 foot plunge to where the tops of the subway trains would be.
Right, and John just looks down and you know, then decides to just jump. And then he goes, "This is a bad idea."
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know the answer to this, but what is the most iconic New York City subway grate scene?
Oh, you have to go with 7 Year Itch. I would think the famous Marilyn Monroe shot. Yeah.
That's right. Now, what I found really interesting is that, you know, when I was doing a little bit of research on this, that people think of the subway as tunnels, but in reality, they're not. They basically built it in a method known as cut and cover.
Yeah.
Right. They dug a deep hole, and then they built the subway as a normal type of building, and then they paved the road over it to basically serve as the street. And therefore, because it's directly under the street, they don't have to pump air into it for ventilation and stuff like that. So therefore, they created these grates where the air will come in also.
Right. Yeah. And running subway trains through it kind of pushes the air along, so it has its own little lungs to move air in and out of the system by using the trains themselves as air pushers.
Right. So, I mean, one of the big advantages of this is if there's a power outage or anything like that, there's still air. You don't have to worry about people running out of air on the subway system. But yeah. On the other hand, what type of thing could cause problems?
Flooding would be a big problem. I mean, during 9/11, that was a constant worry, because the World Trade Center was built in what amounted to a giant cement bathtub. And when the towers fell, that bathtub cracked. And the west side of where the World Trade Center was is the Hudson River. So there was a big fear of if the water had poured into there, where the Port Authority transit trains, the PATH trains are, as well as the subway system, you could have flooded the entire Manhattan subway system, as well as the New Jersey Port Authority tunnel that goes back toward Jersey City and Hoboken.
Right. Exactly. And but it makes me wonder, like, what do they do when it rains? The subways just go.
They have another drainage system that pump water out of the secondary drains that are underneath. But you know, it couldn't handle the Hudson River all at once. You know, some of those tunnels are extremely deep. If you go to Grand Central Terminal, at least one, two, three, four, five, at least five levels down, Lexington Avenue subway must run at least 150 feet under the street. It's way down there. It's underneath two other. There's the Times Square shuttle. There's the number 7 IND subway that goes west and east. So there's levels on top of levels when you get into some parts of the. I think the deepest part may be around Grand Central, around 42nd Street. Oh, but wow. It's a very deep subway system.
And as John jumps down, we end this minute. You know, mid-air, more or less.
Mid-leap.
Yes. Yes. Well, he's taking a leap of faith. So
yeah, there you go.
Right. Did you have anything else to say about this, Matt?
No, I'm all set there.
All right. So the script actually has some interesting things in here. Zeus asks John, where are you going? And he goes, you'll see. Sheridan Square, 12th and 7th Avenue. The West Village, you sign on the subway entrance, Sheridan Square. The taxi pulls over in front of the subway stairs. McLean turns to Zeus. Time? 16 minutes. Sheridan Square with 16 minutes left means we made it here in 14 minutes, right? Right. So we're probably ahead of the train, right? Probably. You're not thinking what I think you're thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. McLean gets out of the taxi, leans in the window. I'm getting on that train. You're out of your mind. It makes sense. You get to the phone by 5:20. I'll find the bomb and get rid of it on the tunnel. If you fail, I've got you covered. If I fail, you're covering for me. We're cutting the odds in half. Yeah, and what if I don't get to the phone by 5:20 and you don't find the bomb and get rid of it? Then I'm f***ed. Unholsters his gun. You know how to use this? McLean hands Zeus the gun. Zeus looks at it. I thought it wasn't on police business. I'm deputizing you. My lucky f***ing day. Zeus reluctantly takes the gun. See you on Wall Street. And McLean runs down the stairs into the subway. Zeus says, McLean, God damn it. Zeus watches McLean race off. He tosses the gun on the seat, then throws it in drive and speeds off. McLean dashes down the stairs to the platform. He jumps the turnstile and sees the number 5 train doors are closing. McLean turns, vaults the turnstiles, and runs back up street level. McLean sprints down the sidewalk on 9th Avenue, arriving at the ventilation grate above the subway track. He kneels and lifts up the grate, tossing it aside. He lowers himself into the ventilation hole, hanging there by his fingers. So I think it flows much better in the movie than it did here, for sure. And like the whole idea of him giving him a gun, it doesn't make any sense. So whatever. But I like the fact that he just tosses the grate to the side. You know, it's even lighter than what we see it in the movie. Yeah. I mean, in the movie, he struggles a little bit. But in, you know, here, doesn't struggle at all. Just lift and chuck. So every Wednesday, we have a segment called Jesus Hump Day, where my guests will give their top 5 Samuel L. Jackson performances.
Oh, yeah. These are always fun.
What do you got for us?
Okay. Number 5, I'm going to start off with an easy one, Iron Man. He's only in it for, 90 seconds, I think, but he sets the tone as Sergeant Fury, Nick Fury. For the entire MCU, you say, oh, Sam Jackson's going to be in a bunch of these movies because you know that he's going to be running S.H.I.E.L.D. and running the Avengers Initiative. He set himself up for a whole career there. I enjoy just that 90 seconds. It's amazing how that tone doesn't change through all the movies. I enjoyed that one. Let's see. 4, it's a voiceover, but I do I quote this movie way too many times. I enjoy the animated Disney film The Incredibles. Sam Jackson playing the voice Frozone. Frozone. I don't know how many times I've said to my wife, where is my super suit? And on laundry day while we're sorting clothes, she's very patient with me. So I'm very thankful that she can put up with my Sam Jackson impersonations. Number 3, I would put in Jurassic Park as Arnold. which is, it's nice seeing a scientific Sam Jackson. He's great in that film. I think he's very well cast in it. Doesn't get enough screen time in there, though. I would have wanted more on there.
His hand does.
Sorry, yes, yeah, that's true.
His hand does.
Yes, agreed. It could be a stunt hand that we don't know. Number two, I really enjoyed him in Unbreakable, playing the bad guy in Unbreakable, again with Bruce Willis. Beautiful. Being a comic book villain in a real life situation. He's a fragile person, yet he causes so much mayhem, and he's very spooky. It's a very spooky role for him. You're not seeing him as the typical action hero. He's a mastermind who is just, made of glass, literally by his name and everything. Exactly. And of course, number one, you've got to go with Jules in Pulp Fiction, because Pulp Fiction is his, it's everybody's number one, where he's just starting.
So far it's not, but.
Really? Wow. Okay. Yeah. I am stunned, because when I think of Samuel L. Jackson in my head, the first thing I think of is, him quoting these missing chapters of Ezekiel and going on with discussing quarter pounders or talking about being cool like Fonzie. That is peak Samuel L. Jackson. So those are my five.
Okay. Just so you know, there's only one other person who has made it their number one. So far in the last, you're of the seven people who've done it.
I am shocked. I am. Well, we'll have to see what the count is as your weeks go by.
That's right. And there are even two people who don't even have it on their top five.
Okay. I'm going to have to go lay down after this. This is just making me dizzy. Do these people watch Sam Jackson movies? Well, we'll find out.
Apparently. I mean, let's put it this way. I haven't had any guests this season yet who have not seen five Sam Jackson movies. Last season was a little more difficult with Frank Capra and Jimmy Stewart. I had too many guests that weren't able to give me five for every one of the categories. So
my soul
these seasons so
them.
Far.
Oh, gosh. Well, hopefully you inspire them to go out and watch more Frank Capra films and more Jimmy Stewart.
I try. So we'll have to wait and see. All right. So Jim, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Jim O'Kane?
Yeah, please come. As we're playing here this summer, we have some great, great talks going on over at the October Sky Minute podcast. We've got really interesting characters, everything from actors who were in the movie to NASA historians, astronauts. We even have the president of the American Welding Society on to talk to us about what it's like welding in the 21st century. So join us. The guests are as fascinating as our hosts are, hopefully. Join us over at OctoberSkyMinute.com.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, subscribe, and podcatcher you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, MovieRobMinute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send me an email to MovieRobMinute@MovieRob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Again, hurrah, hurrah, we'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah, the men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.